Keeping warm?
It's kind of chill. It was 25.
The tea keg will come to order. And that stands for
Contingent Appropriation Advisory Group.
Sorry for the delay on getting started. Where are we at? We have a request. Do we have another request before us?
I think it's the old request.
The old request?
Stands.
Stands. So, Madam Speaker, where are we at here?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think it would be good if whoever the department has designated, maybe Mr. Henkel and Mr. Gray, would like to take us through our now becoming more familiar set of information that we have asked for at each meeting. So I know there's some additional pieces that are provided as well for those members.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, members, Mr. Chairman, Madam Speaker. My name is Tim Henkel. I'm a division director with the Minnesota Department of Transportation.
Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Kevin Gray, Chief Financial Officer with MnDOT.
After discussion with legislative staff and a quick meeting with the speaker on Friday, we would propose the following agenda to get quickly through some of that background information. First and foremost, talk about the status of federal funds. Second, status of expenditures and state appropriation authority. Third, the cash flow forecast and where that stands today. Fourth, status of plan letting schedule and set asides versus the scenario without the requested appropriation. And then finally, a couple of the additional questions that you posed earlier, which is the status of the 35 Bridge replacement project, as well as the status of the Wakota Bridge project.
Very good. Let's do that.
Let's start then with the package that you have in the first graphic, which is a quick summary of the federal emergency relief funding for the 35W Bridge. Very simply, nothing has changed with respect to the status of federal funds since our last meeting. When you look at this graphic, the status that remains is first and foremost that the FHWA has estimated that the $373.5 million is the level of potential ER-eligible costs. If you look at the center portion of this graphic, you can see what has been appropriated and what has not. At the very bottom, in total, $178.5 is currently appropriated. That includes the recent provision from the FHWA of $123.5 million, plus the quick release back in August of 50 and 5, respectively. What remains is the 195 that Congress continues to work on, but has not been appropriated, only authorized at this stage. Finally, in the final right-hand side of this graphic, state budget authority gives you a quick summary of what has been approved and what is remains in the request category. The pink includes that which has been approved, $60 million, in the October TCAG meeting and the $53.2 during the special session. The $135 request of the governor is the standing request with a total of $248.2 million of appropriation authority in total being requested.
Questions? Okay. Let's proceed then.
To the next spreadsheet gives you a quick status report of the emergency relief status. Let me quickly talk through what this is showing you. First and foremost, there have not been any additional approvals of submitted DDIRs on the local level or the state level. And so at this point in time, the amount submitted to the FHWA in total is at the $395 million level. As you go across this spreadsheet, the ER authorization amount at this point, what has been authorized is the $209.4 million, with actual reimbursements that have come back to the state amounting now to $33.3 million. That compares to an amount of $23.6 million that was reported to you at the last meeting. I also reported at the last meeting that the local government had submitted approximately $12 million worth of DDIR requests. At this point, the status remains the same. FHWA continues to work with the locals in the additional justification that is necessary for those DDIRs to be authorized. At this point, they have not been authorized. Any questions?
Why is it that none of the local money's been taken care of yet? Why is that?
Mr. Chairman, the locals have submitted the DDIR, City of Minneapolis, as an example.
Right, but they don't have any authorizations here. Why is that?
They do not, because those applications, those damage assessments are incomplete, and so the FHWA is working with local government, City of Minneapolis, to complete, get the additional information that is necessary for those applications to be complete before that authorization can occur. So that is a work in progress, as I understand it.
Okay.
Mr. Chair and members, following the order of your packet, we're looking at our SRC appropriation analysis schedule at this point. Again, this is a familiar schedule to many of you at this point in time. But just to recap, this is an effort to identify how much appropriation authority and the actual charges or usage of that appropriation authority to date, and then look at our planned letting schedule and see what's remaining for how long. Our base appropriation, real quickly, is at $551 million. Tim noted that the $53 and $60 million from the special session and from the contingent appropriations group in October. The dedicated receipts is essentially receipts that we take in so that we can do local enhancements at their request, and it is reflected on the spending side as well. To date, using September 30th as the anchor point, where we had completed our closing of the books and project links and set-asides used, our appropriation use for that date was $103 million. And that gives us the remaining balance from October going forward. And we thought we would continue with that theme of these regular meetings being anchored with from the first meeting date. So the $572 million, we have $333 million of bridge-related cost impacts in this fiscal year. That leaves the remaining appropriation authority as of September 30th of $239 million. In the middle table one graphic, the 2009 lettings, and this is it's reflecting our current plan program, but when you look at the remaining appropriation balances, assuming no additional appropriation above the $60 million or the amounts noted above, in bold, we have reflected our actual activity for October and November, both in terms of appropriation use or expenditures, if you will, for projects and set-asides. And you'll see that going into December, that leaves us with remaining appropriation balance of $167 million. Going through the successive months, Mr. Hinkle will talk through our planned letting schedule and use of set-asides in a minute, but from a kind of a financial perspective, if you will, our appropriation authority dwindles down, and as you can see, by the end of the year, the fiscal year, according to this schedule, we're at $78.8 million short. That is, again, equivalent to the $85 million that we would be short from a programming need perspective. It just reflects year-to-date that some projects have come in under what our projected cost was. It's likely throughout the rest of the year that some projects will come in over. So while this number is 78.8, our position is that the remaining program needs is at $85 million. And again, this is the assuming no additional appropriation authority for the balance of the year.
Questions, Madam Speaker?
Just a quick question, Mr. Gray or Mr. Henkel, about the set-asides. Are the set-asides typically expended at the regular letting date, or is there a different process for the set-aside amount?
Madam Speaker, it varies based upon the set-aside that we're talking about. For example, one of the set-asides is right-of-way. And so as the year progresses, as projects are let, and as right-of-way payments, acquisitions are made, those would be made based upon the request and the need. Municipal agreements, on the other hand, is a different category of set-asides. And while it's similar, it could be on a separate and different schedule. I think we have shown you a list of some 15 to 20 set-aside categories. All of those will vary depending throughout the year, depending on projects being let and the needs that exist. So it's more of a random approach to payouts.
Okay, other questions? Great, let's continue.
Mr. Chair and members, the next page is a summary of our cash flow estimates and status, if you will. The first page has both a top and bottom half that look very similar. What we are showing here is in our original cash flow estimate is the top half. That was when our initial project bridge replacement impact cost was $375 million. And it shows it by type of activity within that project in a timeline, if you will, of when we thought bills would be incurred and payments made, cash payments made. The bottom half of the schedule is, again, the same groupings, but with some updated information. For instance, you'll see that the estimated project cost is $370.6 for this cash flow forecast in the lower left corner. That reflects the fact that the level of local expenditures in this case is anticipated to be less than our forecast amount. Using the same logic as $85 million being our anchor point, it is likely that there will be some movement in these other categories of costs throughout the project up and down. But for purposes at the request of staff and to keep this based on facts, we've shown what we know to date, and next month we might see that right-of-way is $19 million instead of $16, and therefore the project cost would go up. When we know facts, we'll reflect it in the current status. So with respect to the bridge costs and impacts, we're looking at $370.6 million. The actual expenditures, I look at the column labeled total monthly costs. We have expended $38.1 million. There's total cumulative costs. The monthly cost for November was $6.5 million approximately. We have expended $38.1 million to date. If you were to look up to the top half box, you'll see that through November, in our initial cash forecast, we had anticipated spending as much as $120 million at this point in time. That said, the project is remaining on track, and we just did not receive the billings as fast as we had anticipated. And in fact, December through June, we'll probably see larger amounts being billed for those months than were forecasted above. When you get to the end of the year, we're approximately in the same position as we had originally forecasted. So at this point in time, however, actual costs related to the bridge cash expenditures here to date are $38.1 million. And I only dwell on that for a second because that will be reflected in our revised cash forecast in the next page. So if you want to go to that at this point in time, answer the questions.
Any questions, members? Okay. Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Gray, is this your total cost? Am I reading this correctly? You assume it'll be in $375 million. That's strictly the bridge and related costs. That's not your other project costs for any other road construction. Is that correct?
Madam Speaker, Representative Leader, this is strictly related to the bridge replacement costs and direct impacts related to that, such as some of the route management and traffic restoration projects that we did that are SRC or state road construction eligible. So this is the bridge only.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Gray, then how does this affect your other construction program? You have roughly $375 here. Of course, that's That's money you didn't anticipate. Is your normal construction budget going to be affected critically, or is it normally going to stay in a range of $500 and $600 million?
Mr. Gray?
Madam Speaker, Representative Leader, I think that's the crux of the issue today, in fact, is that we believe that the program will be impacted if we don't receive additional appropriation authority in a timely fashion. And that's the $85 million gap. When we receive that, and how do we manage around that is the question today.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Gray, is your normal construction program lettings on schedule, basically, then? Or are you, as I see this, this is anticipated on the 35W bridge. How about your normal construction program? Are you, are those construction projects on schedule for letting, as you normally would?
Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, Representative Leader, to date, with the exception of a couple projects, very modest projects have moved, we're on track to date. The issue is managing the program for the balance of the year. And Mr. Hinkle is going to talk to that in a separate graphic. I think it's a good segue, and we'll get to that right after the cash forecast and talk about that at more length.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Gray, do I understand you correctly then? We're going on the assumption, are you going to get any more federal monies? It's authorized, but how about appropriated because the Congress is going out of session, or will you get hurt by that not getting the federal monies in time that'll affect the rest of your project?
Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, Mr. Representative Leader, actually, as we go to the next couple of schedules, you'll see how the cash is impacted by the timing and actual receipt of federal funds. And we're going to show two models. One, what monies do we have in hand today? And secondly, a model based on the anticipated receipt of the additional $195 million that is authorized. And there are impacts in our cash flow reviews. The other issue is the level of state road construction appropriation authority from the state, or the legislature, if you will, where we're seeking an additional $135 million to deliver our program on the planned schedule today. So we're going to go through both pieces of that. What's the impact of receiving and or conversely, you could read into not receiving federal funds, and then what's the impact of not receiving additional state appropriation authority to deliver the program.
Thank you.
All right. Any further questions right now? Okay. Mr. Gray and Mr. Hinkle.
Madam Chair, we're going to continue going through your packet in order. The next schedule we have, and actually there are two very similar looking schedules. The next one is labeled 2008 forecast, including bridge, federal funds at $177 million. And that number ties out to the currently appropriated and cash received amount that was that Mr. Hinkle went through in the first handout. And in this schedule, I think the highlights are the fact that throughout 2008, fiscal 2008, we think we're going to have be in a positive cash balance position for each and every month, and most significantly for the end of the year as well. The box that is highlighted in the 2008 column in the bottom towards the bottom of your page, $6,862,000, is the predicted low point in our monthly balance, and that's in January of 2008. And again, that is before we receive additional amounts from the federal government for the $195 that is currently authorized but not appropriated. So, Representative Leader, that's to your point. This is using only the resources to manage the cash expenditures related to our program that we have received to date, and that's the $177 million. If you would flip your page over, you have the same format for our fiscal 2009 cash forecast, again, with the funds remaining at the $177 million level. That would presume or illustrate what would the cash position be were we not to receive additional federal monies from what we have to date. And jumping right down to the bottom piece of the schedule, again, this is based on our current forecast and anticipated billings for the bridge and now for our entire program. including operating budget as well as state road construction program as well as the bridge. And the cash flow balance in 2009 is November and remains at 150 million level. I think that's, if we look back on our October discussions, we were in the 270, 290 range. If you back out the additional 123 million that we received last month, it knocked this number down, if you will. And again, looking at a bit of a silver lining, at least from a cash management perspective, is that at the end of the year, 2009, the cash balance is a positive balance. And I always look for that silver lining, Madam Speaker. But that's important because if you recall Commissioner Hansen in his testimony that we have some internal borrowing mechanisms that work really well within a biennium or within a fiscal year. They don't work so well if you're in a negative cash balance, particularly at the end of the biennium. So I think that's a significant point. Yet it shows that we have some significant cash management and issues to address if we do not receive any more federal funds. But this presumes that we deliver the entire bridge and the entire program in these cash estimates. Going to the next page, another cash flow forecast, and I won't spend much time on this other than to point out that in 2008, we're not anticipating receiving more funds under any scenario, even with the $195 million when that comes, prior to January. So our low point in January is $6.8 million. That's the low point for fiscal 08. But this is presuming we receive all $372 million. Again, that number Mr. Hinkle talked about in our first handout. And looking at that, the major difference between the two scenarios is instead of ending up with a $28 million cash balance at the end of 08, we end up with $181 million. Obviously, that's the $195 million impact rippling through. If you turn the page over and you look at our 2009 scenario, now we have actually factored in all of the $195 million being receded into the Trunk Highway Fund. And while we still have a couple of months that are, if you will, in the negative bracket at the low point of the month, and these aren't even month end, these are the actual, our most conservative view of a day and time in the month that might have a low cash balance, you see that we're approximately $15 million is a low point, again in January of 09. With that, the end of the year is very strongly positioned in where we like to be for cash balance at that point in time at $160 million. I would say those 2 or 3 months, 3 months over the course of 4 where we're hovering at or just below the zero cash balance line, I think are manageable, at least a very manageable situation overall. And that's with the receipt of all the federal funds that they've indicated they've authorized and or already appropriated.
Mr. Gray, if you would, I think I appreciate your optimism, and I think this is a better story than it was at one time, but I just have to ask for the record, it's not ideal still, though, to have a negative cash flow, is it?
Madam Chair, no, it's managing close to the vest. I would say though that layering in a $375 or $393 million catastrophe impact in managing to this point would be a success for most organizations and the state. I believe it's a reflection on getting the bridge back on track in an extremely timely fashion, and. And managing our resources with the help of the federal government to make that happen. But you don't want to be down at, managing pennies at the end of the month. That's not all.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Gray, your cash balance is always something, but do you have any other, like, accounts payable or anything that we're not aware of? I know you have bond principal, but that doesn't show in a cash balance.
Madam Chair, Representative Leaders, Leader and Members, this is the comprehensive cash forecast, and it does reflect our payables and the wind out of those payables. It does reflect debt service And November, December, January are always tougher months for us because we're doing debt service transfers at the very end of November. And so that's the, and we're also getting the benefit of the end of the construction season. And guess what? Everybody catches up on their billings. So it's always a tougher time for us without any issue like the 35W bridge collapse. So, but this is a comprehensive cash flow forecast for the entire fund. Reflects payroll, payables, our regular program, and the bridge. So it's all inclusive.
Okay. I guess continue.
Madam Speaker, I'll move to the next question, which is the status of the plan letting schedule, as well as a comparison then of the plan letting schedule to the program without our requested appropriation. The handouts I'll refer to are the next three, which is the graphic with the colorful Green Bay colors. Second.
Mr. Hinkle, is that on purpose?
Madam Speaker, no, but
okay.
I do like the colors.
Not sure that was a good thing to point out in this room.
Yes, it is. Also, table two, which is the tentative schedule of lettings, and then the final tabulation, which is this one-page handout, which is entitled the MnDOT 2008 SRC projects that will be deferred without additional budget authority.
Correct.
Madam Speaker, what I hope to do here is to clarify the department's position on the urgency regarding the requested appropriation authority. I'd like to start by talking about this graphic, the planned fiscal year 2008 construction program versus the program without. As you look at this graphic, it's a fairly simple depiction of the currently planned lettings versus the lettings that would go forward at a $85 million level project deferral. So as you look at this, the yellow bars reflect the plan letting schedule for both actual projects and planned set-asides for the time frame beginning in December going through the rest of this fiscal year, which is June of 2008, versus the letting schedule without the requested appropriation in green. Again, the solid green are the actual projects, and the hashed green are the set-aside projects in this time frame. If you'd move to the thicker handout, table two, this gives you the actual data which makes up the yellow bars on this graphic. Quickly going through this and talking about the status of the schedule, first and foremost, the November lettings have moved forward. So we have reported now in two meetings the status of lettings for October and November. As you look at the first comparison, looking at the November letting, you can see that the actual level of funding awarded in the November letting is $20.1 million versus the estimated preliminary estimate column of $21.6 million. So we've seen a small cost savings that has been reflected in Mr. Gray's analysis. Of note as well, as you look through this, is an answer to Senator Hogemiller's question at the last session, which is, in any deferral list or in the tentative schedule of lettings, are there any fatigue-prone bridges, fracture-critical bridges that could be deferred or could be impacted by any decisions? The answer to that question is there is only one fatigue-prone bridge in this entire list of tentatively scheduled projects. That is the Hastings Bridge on Trunk Highway 61. You can find that on page 3 in the lower portion of the spreadsheet where the district is Metro and the trunk highway is 61, a $2.6 million estimated project at the Mississippi River. It's the Hastings Bridge repair project.
And Mr. Hinkle, that must be in the January letting, is that correct?
February.
Yes. Or is it?
Madam Speaker, that is correct.
Okay.
Yes. The final note, as you look through this spreadsheet, you will note that there have been some changes in the letting dates of projects. I would like to note that none of those changes are reflective at all of the request for additional appropriation level. These are changes that are being made by the project management staff. These are changes that typically occur, especially as we near the stage of the year where a number of our projects are being let. And as you look through here, you can see that as we get into January, February, and March, we see the largest number of projects being let. As we near those ready dates for letting, project managers are hurriedly making sure that they have everything lined up. All of these changes are due to various reasons that the project management staff bring forward in making final adjustments to the program. So as you look forward to the January letting, you can see that there have been some adjustments in the preliminary estimate total versus the estimated award levels. For example, in January, we had originally estimated $83.3 million, and now we're talking about almost $90 million. And that begins to level out as you move forward to looking at February 31 versus 0.3 versus 48.3, et cetera. So adjustments are being made there, and I just want you to note that. Finally, moving to the one-pager. This is a one-pager that we have put together in our efforts to make clear those projects that total $85 million that would need to be deferred without requested appropriation levels. Currently, again, we are requesting at the 135 level. This list was generated by working with the districts across the state, providing guidance to those districts in terms of the level of funding that they needed to defer projects for. 75% of those deferrals are coming from the Metro District, and the remaining 25% is coming from the rural districts across the state. $61 million to the Metro District and $21 million in total of that $85 million to the rural districts. As you look at this spreadsheet, it is divided into actual projects at the top of page one, and near the bottom of page one going to page two are the set-asides. Supplemental agreements to right-of-way to preventative maintenance and municipal agreements, etc. You'll note that the total is $85 million. I'd also like to quickly make clear why there's an urgency to receiving the additional requested appropriation level. Developing a program and developing projects is a complex process, and often it takes a number of months to line up those projects in a way that they can be delivered and to line up those plans and ready those plans for traffic impacts, local needs, local projects, etc. We are nearing the point where we are going to have a large amount of projects being let without the total budget authority appropriation level that we need. And so at this point, we would like to be in a position to know whether or not we will have that appropriation authority to move forward or not, so that we can make any adjustments that are necessary to fully utilize staff within the department to the greatest ability that we can to minimize costs, because as we compress projects or do things differently with our program, we may or may not get the number of bidders that we would expect, and contractors have a more difficult time bidding on projects. And just to maximize our coordination with local governments. Often these projects that are being let are coordinated with local projects or local efforts, and the more that we can coordinate on those projects early on, the better off that we will be in those long-term coordination efforts. So that's a very quick summary of the request that is still before you. Comparison of the current letting schedule to that which is proposed at the $85 million reduction level.
Any questions? Senator Murphy?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, maybe Mr. Gray, what's the bottom line number that we could give you guys and get you through 08?
Madam Chair, Senator Murphy, the request is $135 million, and that's consistent with our appropriation level that's outstanding, and it's the $60 million that we've received already, less than $195 million that's appropriated. And that really is the optimal program level for us to get through. That said, we have had some good discussions with staff in the past week and actually the last several months, to be candid, and with the speaker on Friday. And I think that as the listing of projects demonstrates that we need minimally $85 million to manage and deliver the entire program for the balance of this fiscal year.
Okay, and Madam.
Madam Chair, maybe you guys can help me with this. So if you get something that's less than that, say,
it was $35 million Representative Solberg was talking about, or $32 million in that ballpark.
What happens on the back end of all the OEA projects? Are you going to cancel projects regardless?
Madam Speaker, Senator Murphy, we need to look at this from a program perspective rather than a month-to-month perspective. Because of the large lettings that are coming up in January, February, and March, we need the capacity to be able to look forward well beyond April or May. We want to look at this all the way out through June. So if I could respectfully respond, I think at this point, if we were only to receive a $35 million level, we would still be looking at this deferral scenario that we've put before you so that we are in a position to be able to manage over the course of what remains of the fiscal year.
Thank you. And Madam Speaker, Mr. Hinkle, then maybe you can answer this. With the loss of revenue coming to the highway user fund in the amount of, it looks to be about $24 million. And there's going to be a loss of revenue in fiscal year 08 as well. Are you going to have to cancel projects even if we do give you the $85 million or the higher amount for 08?
Mr. Hinkle.
Madam Speaker, Senator Murphy, at this point we're looking ahead at the forecasts, and I can certainly defer to Mr. Gray regarding our federal and state forecasts and what that means. We are providing guidance at this point that assumes a level of stability for both the state and federal funds, knowing full well that there's some minor adjustments that we're expecting on the MVEST side as we've seen a slight downturn. But overall, we're going to see a net increase. So I would answer by saying at this point, I don't see the need for us to be deferring projects in the future years. The only issue that we always have is managing the cost side of our projects. We expect that inflation, construction index, et cetera, will increase over time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hinkle. But, Madam Speaker, Mr. Hinkle, it sounded like you said both things. It says you realize that we're going to be losing this money, which your own documents show, but then you say it's not going to affect anything because you're going to make more money doing bake sales?
Mr. Hinkle.
Madam Speaker, Senator Murphy, I'm looking at two questions separately. One question is how are we managing the current request for budget authority? The second question being how are we planning for revenue given additional budget authority? So my response is assuming that we are going to see additional budget authority that allows us to maintain the scheduled projects in 08 and then to look ahead to 09, simply looking at revenue assumptions and what that trend might do for us.
Okay. I didn't understand it the first time you said it, but that I understood. Okay, and with that said, Madam Speaker, is it okay if I – sorry, I'm – oh, Mr. Going. Chairman, sorry I'm hogging the show here. I'm sure that Representative Magnus is going to have something to say here shortly.
Unless you could say something wrong.
Oh, you wouldn't be able to correct
No. But Mr. Hinkle,
now, okay, I understand what you just said, but
looks like in fiscal year 08 there's going to be a deficit in but there's going to be a revenue decrease in several different funds that's going to affect the overall scope of the work that you can do. Now, is this 10 or 20 million dollars of revenue that's not going to come in? Have you already kind of put a cushion up against that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, actually we have, and I think there's a couple of key points here. The appropriation authority we're looking for to support the bridge is federal money that's already been either appropriated or authorized. So it's a little bit different than our longer-term federal revenue or state revenue forecast. You're entirely accurate that our forecast, actually 408, is modestly more positive. It's 9, 10, 11 that we see some effects, particularly at the gas tax level, and MBES level, consistent with the, quite frankly, the general fund forecast. So the issue is that we have sufficient fund balance and sufficient revenues to support our current appropriation levels in both 08 and 09. Mm-hmm. And so the current revenue forecast, while it's not as optimistic in the out years, is still manageable, and in part because of we are receiving more monies through the MVEST amendment as well. But at this point in time, the key distinction is that we're seeking appropriation authority for federal funds that have already been appropriated and or authorized.
All right. Thank you.
Madam Speaker, last one. I know we've got $1 billion worth of state bridges that need to be fixed up here, and the department's made some allowances to bring some of that under contract in 08 and 09. Can you, at a later date, maybe send me over a memo that of what activity is going to be happening in the bridge realm over the next 4 years? Just so I got a good number about how much of the $1 billion deficit are we going to be able to knock off in the next 4 years.
Madam Speaker, Senator Murphy, yes, we will forward that information to you.
Thank you.
Other questions? Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair and members, a little bit of going back to October when we had a request of $250 million additional appropriation, I think that was the number, because that was authorized by a Congress, but no appropriation made yet. And to bring that back to the state level, it seems to me that as we look at this schedule that we had from, I think, our first or second meeting, in that we are committed to make sure that you have the appropriation level enough to be able to not do any cutting of projects. Now, I understand that you would like to have probably $40 billion, like the federal government does, of authorization to spend money, even though it may not come in and manage it. But that's not the way the system works. It's a balancing act here a little bit. And it seems to me, as we have been looking at these particular projects that are on the line and looking at when you are date of advertising it and when they're going to be let and so forth, that's the most important information that that I had. And I think the $60 million, as I understood it, would bring you through the January that we previously authorized, would bring you through the January advertisement and the February letting. And I think that was kind of the basis, if I recall right, for our approval of the $60 million. As I look at this chart, I'm convinced a little bit that you need to have a little bit of lead time for advertising for the March. I want to have you keep in mind that the legislature is coming back into session on the 12th. And I think with some good cooperation of give and take and so forth, if things come through, it's a job of the legislature to appropriate the money. And I know we're working under this particular stance, but it's a job of the legislature to appropriate money. And so as I go through this, I want to be very cautious of our role in this particular process. But I don't want to have you be without some authority to be able to let the projects that are scheduled to be let. And if I look at this and the advertisement date, and I would appreciate if we go down to the March, that you need to advertise those lettings on March 25th. And we go into the February 12th, or I'm sorry, February 25th. February 25th. And we go in February 12th. And I can understand the department being a little concerned about from the 12th to the 25th, we may not get you the authority you need. So, but if we gave you the additional, well, it says you're short 27.5, and that's some flexibility, 30, 35, you'd be able to have confidence in advertising the numbers that's on that list and let those be in March. It's March letting, but it's February advertisement. And I can understand the need for that. That gives us, the legislature, the responsibility to do the appropriation as is what we should be doing. But just as, I felt uncomfortable in authorizing or appropriating any money from the federal government that wasn't here yet, and I also feel that uncomfortability of given all the authority by this group as well, because the legislature's responsibility is for that. I know we have a special charge and that kind of thing, and the other thing is that we're going to meet again in January. Well, we have the potential to meet in January if we so desire. And as we get information from the department on things on the list, I think it's providing us, not micromanaging, but it's providing us with enough information that we can make some rational decisions until the legislature makes those rational decisions. And so that's why I have felt comfortable with the $30 million or even a little bit of cushion of $35, because I understand that. And as we go through the next report, I think we're open to looking at the department's needs. And that's where I'm coming from.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Solberg, I respect your comments. I want to make clear, however, that the department's responsibility is to manage the program as a whole. And what we're bringing forward is the optimal request for $135 million worth of additional appropriation authority. The minimum, not optimal, but minimum being $85, which, consistent with our analysis that Mr. Gray has put forward on the SRC analysis, allows us to manage that program throughout the remainder of the fiscal year, because a month-to-month evaluation and analysis and rollout just isn't feasible for the department given all the decisions that we need to make in a very large rollout in January, February, and March in particular, along with the coordination that must occur with local government that works in partnership with us in delivering these projects and delivering projects hand-in-hand with us. So while I understand the position that you put forward, I am asking that you consider the 135, the 85 minimum as a baseline for what the department needs at this point in time.
But, well, Madam, Mr. Chair, just one thing, as I look at this, it does cover some of your very large appropriations up to that point, your very large lettings. And I can understand, like I said, every department in the state wants on ability to spend as much money as they could possibly have. But we're trying our best, I think, to reach a common ground here that will give you the authority you need and still make us feel comfortable in our role here.
Sir Murphy.
thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, it just brings me back to the
reason why I still believe that this committee is being used in an inappropriate manner. I mean, we're authorizing the spending of the tax dollars, and I kind of thought in the Constitution it said the legislature was supposed to do that. I'm still going to vote no, even though I agree you guys need to have the authority. I just don't think that this is the arena for it. I think that it's a full-blown legislative session needs to happen, and hopefully a full-blown legislative session where we have a real comprehensive transportation bill, one that addresses things like transit, rail and bus, ports, both airports and water ports, rail lines, roads, bridges. Bottom line is we're appropriating money here, and we're talking about giving authority for $85 million or $130 million or $150 million, when the bottom line is that according to MnDOT's own documentation, they need $2.4 billion. Now,
a year.
And Madam Speaker, I have to kind of couch that a little bit. The actual number is about $1.7 billion. The reason why MnDOT's number and their documentation looks big is because they front load the program so that we can get more projects done earlier in a 10-year period. We get those projects done in years 2, 3, 4, 5 instead of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But the problem is that we've got a shortfall of about $1.7 billion. And everybody's kicking around, you know, the $85 million or $100 million, and we got $1 billion worth of bridges. Now, I don't believe that there's going to be another bridge in the state of Minnesota that's going to fall into a creek or into another abyss, but it could happen. I don't want to take that chance. I think we need to have a full-blown legislative session and pass a true comprehensive transportation bill that raises at least $1 billion a year, so that we can get at some of these problems. We wouldn't be having this meeting if we had a real comprehensive transportation bill.
Okay, other representative?
Mr. Chairman, just to that point, Senator Murphy put it in his bill that we can only spend what the legislature appropriated, and the bridge fell in. We've still got to meet to appropriate that unless we have a special session. So it's that point. But
Mr. Chairman and Representative Magnus, my point is, much like you made it before when we were talking over here, it's much like that. Okay, we're going to fix this bridge, but what about the bridges in your district or up in Solberg's district? I mean, what happens with those bridges? You know, and a lot of those bridges, like I come from southeastern Minnesota where the geography is either straight up or straight down, so we've got a lot of bridges. And a lot of them are owned by the townships. They don't have any money to fix bridges. I mean, a little box culvert will destroy their budget for the whole year. And, it's time that we kind of get off our hands here and use them for something else other than to sit on, get work done.
So, Representative Solberg, you're suggesting, as I take it here, that you do an extra $30 million or so to make sure that there's assurance during the February-March lettings that they can proceed, and then the legislature will be here, and it can do whatever it wants at that point.
Mr. Chairman.
That should cause no delays in anything, then?
Mr. Chairman, that's my contention, I think.
Okay. And... why doesn't that work? I mean, I thought we were at one point, last time we met, we got it right to February, and now I guess there's been a concern that not enough certainty for March, so there's a suggestion to add 30 more. Why doesn't that kind of get everybody where they need to get? Senator Murphy kind of doesn't want to do anything until the legislature gets here. Solberg seems to be willing to make sure we keep things going until we do get here. And that seems to be a legitimate way to kind of get there, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Chair, I think that Representative Solberg and Senator Murphy represent what is a great debate in the legislature right now. And I think that there are many members who, of both House and Senate, who feel very much the way Senator Murphy feels. And that is one of the challenges with this particular issue. Is that we are trying to take the information in, listen to the department's needs, respond to those needs, and do it in a way that doesn't hinder the overall program. I understand that $85 million would be a much nicer number because it gets you all the way through till the end of the biennium, but I think that because we are coming back
end of
in
the year.
Set.
End of the year.
End of
end the year.
Or end of the
end of the
biennium.
Fiscal year. The fiscal
okay.
year.
Fiscal
and
year.
So I think it's a difficult situation that everybody finds themselves in. But it also, as we've tried to understand the department's needs and what is happening here, we've also tried to respond to the legislative need to have more input on this. Now, I think that the legislature for 3 years in a row has produced a comprehensive transportation package, and Senator Murphy and Representative Leader and others in this room get a lot of credit for producing those packages. But we have yet to have one that successfully becomes law. So I think that is the next goal here. And, you know, I think that, you know, Sarah Murphy, if we had all had crystal balls and we set that date about coming back into session, I think we all would have hoped to be back in session in January with the crises we have that have brewed in between May and now. But we have to wait to February. We've asked the governor a couple of times to bring us back in for a variety of purposes. Certainly a comprehensive transportation package has always been top of our list. So,
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
If we could, a couple of comments. And I, as Mr. Hinkle said, we respect the views of each member here. I want to represent the kind of the fiscal side, and Tim represents the program side, if you will, and we're trying to collectively give you the picture of the decisions we'll have to make. In some ways, the fiscal side is easier because you can see the numbers, and it's a common mantra in the financial world that you always want to use your existing resources to the highest priority that you can and use them for. At this point, whether the number is an additional $35 million or $85 million or no action at all, my financial perspective would be that we need to manage the program and our expenditures to attain the highest and most effective use with the resources we know we have. And that is the position of the agency. And while it's tempting, as Mr. Hinkle said, earlier, it's tempting to go month by month and buy some time, if you will, and that might even be considered a generous offer. But that said, we still have to manage the entire program and are trying to avoid that very month-to-month kind of, if you will, I think of, driver's training and the brakes are on and the brakes are off and the brakes are on a little bit, the kind of the herky-jerky that you get with managing a program. And there are many complexities, and I think this committee and this group has indeed dove into that, and Mr. Hinkle talked to it more, but we need to manage, if you will, within the appropriation authority that Fletcher has given us. There was a comment that, if we had a bigger funding plan, things would be different. Well, timing-wise, we'd still be in the same position as Representative Magnus pointed out. We have what we have from the legislature. We've got the special session monies that was appropriated. We have the group that has recommended and appropriated $60 million of additional authority over and above that. And that's what we're portraying here. This is the program impacts relative to that. If we had $35 million additional, we would have, instead of $85 million challenge and look at deferrals and timing of projects, we'd have a $50 million list that we would have to manage to, at least until something changed. And if you manage and if the timeline gets longer, that becomes a problematic situation. So I think, Madam Speaker, you've captured the issues very well. But I do think that we would be here under any circumstance with any level of funding because we would program to that level of funding if we had it. And at this point in time, we've got a program that's bigger than our appropriation authority. And that's what we're trying to manage to, whether it's an $85 million gap or a $35 million gap. And I think Mr. Hinkle has, more thoughts on the programming challenges and kind of the stops and starts, if you will. But my simple financial perspective is we need to program to what we have and use that to the highest priority projects.
Sir Youngbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Gray, and maybe I'm the only one on the committee that's a little bit confused when you talk about the programming, because when we first started out with these meetings, I assumed we were doing exactly what this committee was going to do, was to fund or give you the appropriation for the bridge that was going to come back from the federal government. And somebody internally at MnDOT or the administration decided that they were going to reprogram and sign the bridge deal before we had that authorization out there. So that seems to be what changed the whole programming around, nothing that this committee did. So then when we came back here, am I missing something? Now we are authorizing something different than a direct appropriation for the bridge. So I'm confused. It seems like there's like a roundabout going on here, and maybe I'm the only one that's not getting it. So you guys, whoever can fit in here and inform me, let me know. But I'm really having a hard time figuring out how we went around in that circle.
Senator Youngbauer, some people call that bait and switch.
Okay. We don't have all that federal money yet either, so aren't we just, we're still trying to kind of get through till the legislature gets back in session. And as I understand it, Representative Solberg, you're suggesting $30 million gets us about where we need to be till we get back in session, with an extra month cushion there just in case we come back the 12th, I guess, and just in case we weren't able to proceed quickly enough.
And one other point.
This gets you to March.
My understanding is even if, when come February 12th, if there is a problem within the legislative process, that this committee still has authority.
For better or worse.
We probably don't want it, but that's a possibility.
So why don't, do you have a motion?
Well, if it's necessary.
I think we have a document.
We have a document?
Let's see if we get.
Do we have a document?
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Magnus, while we're looking for a document,
while you're looking for just a point I would raise is that if you look at the front page, we got the Federals have appropriated $178.5 million.
Doug, what are you looking at?
This front one that we got.
Okay,
the colored one.
Yep.
Federals appointed have appropriated $178.5 million, and I know that was one of the initial concerns that this group had, certainly, and I think a valid concern. If we went ahead with Representative Solberg's proposal today, by my addition, we put in $53 million at special session. We put in $60 million on October 15th. If we do another $30 million today, that brings us to $143 million, which would leave $35.5 million of the federal appropriated money sitting there. So that we haven't authorized yet.
No.
If we go there today.
No, that's not correct. Okay. Mr. Chairman and Representative Magnus, that federal money is going to get spent. As soon as we have it, they're going to spend it. They don't need authority for that. They need authority for their entire budget.
No. They need it.
No, because...
You need authority for the federal money?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, if I could...
Both of us in the jumbo.
Okay. No, Mr. Chair and members, that's a good segue, actually. One of the points I wanted to remind the committee, going back to that first chart, is... that we've actually received in hand and outside of the authorized or appropriated, outside of the existing $195 million authorization, we've received $123.5 million of federal funds, which we believe are over and above that amount. And if you will, aside from the special session, which was the early quick release monies, there's been an appropriation of 60 against the 195. I would contend that there's $123 million of federal monies we've received for which we don't have appropriation authority. And so I think that in our efforts to get through all the materials, we maybe didn't focus on that. That's federal cash that has been deposited in our account for which we can bill against that amount, but we haven't received appropriation authority at the state level to increase our SRC spending.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Watson,
Mr.
Mr. Watson.
Mr. Watson, what am I missing something here, or you just whispered in my ear that I was correct? Could you embellish a little?
And that was music to your ear.
Mr. Watson.
Well, that's what...
For once.
Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Murphy, I said you're correct because as we discussed at our last couple of meetings, the authority to spend money to construct the 35W bridge is already there. That money is already committed. Mm-hmm. The federal money coming in is to replace the state money that's already being spent on the bridge. Mm-hmm. And the problem that the department faces is not that it's unable to build the bridge if they don't get this additional $85 or $135 million. They'll build the bridge. The problem is that they cannot go forward with the rest of their program. That's that list of $85 million worth of deferrals that Mr. Henke was mm-hmm. going over earlier. Those are the other parts of their program. That's what they need the authority for. It's not for the bridge. It's for mm-hmm. the other projects.
And Senator Youngbauer pointed out that was a decision that was made internal in the department, not by anybody else. So, mm-hmm. Senator Murphy.
And Mr. Chairman, maybe this gets me back to what Representative Magnus and I were talking about earlier. If we just say no now, MnDOT's going to have to cancel projects, and they're probably going to be in Representative Magnus's district, my district, probably not a whole lot in the MnDOT area. And guess what? I bet we pass a transportation bill then.
Commissioner, you wanted to add something?
Yes, I did. Thank you. And Senator Pogamiller, you just said nothing you did here prioritizing the I-35 bridge. That was something MnDOT did, and we did that alone. That's not exactly true. Okay. That is truly, we had partners in making that decision. One of those partners in receiving the ER dollars was the Federal Highway Administration. There's a hole in the interstate, and it's right here in Minnesota, which affects the entire nation, not just Minnesota, not just Minneapolis. But the city of Minneapolis also worked with us as close partners to move this project along as quickly as possible because it has a negative economic impact to the city of Minneapolis as well as the state of Minnesota. So we had a few partners that put this as a priority whenever there's a disaster, as this truly was, and the federal government comes and says, we are giving you ER dollars to fix what needs to be done, and they appropriate immediately, along with working with Congress, who also said this needed to be dealt with immediately. It can't wait. They put $250 million in, not knowing what the cost would be. We immediately, almost immediately, received the $55 million from the Federal Highway Administration. Then we received another $123 million in the funds that were left in the emergency account, which is a huge amount. The priority was to fill the gap, not just for Minnesota, not just for the city of Minneapolis, who also were our partners, but also for the nation. And that's truly why this is a priority. And what we're asking for today is the authority to spend that 123, the additional authority to spend to include the bridge and maintain our regular program. And we can do that. And you're absolutely right. Nothing you do here today will alter that. The only difference by not giving us the authority today, by not allowing us the spending authority, will be to negatively impact the rest of our program. That will happen. And that's unfortunate because there's no winners in that. There's no winners. And the big losers are the taxpayers of the state of Minnesota, and that's unfortunate. But we did, you're absolutely right. No one in this committee made the point that we should prioritize, maybe it was that first meeting. But other than that, no one here said you have to build 35W Bridge. No one here did. But everyone else, nationally and from the city of Minneapolis and from a state perspective, thought we should, even if no one else here thought we should prioritize it.
Mr. Chairman.
Just...
I vote no.
Just,
Mr. Chair.
Take a breath.
everybody. Commissioner, I'd be real careful trying to characterize things in a manner like that in front of a legislative committee if I were you. Madam Speaker.
Mr. Chair, Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner, when did you sign the contract for this bridge? Do you remember?
Of course. We signed it in October.
What
or
day?
September, actually.
What
I,
day?
I'm sorry. We can... The exact date of the contract signing was...
As I remember it, it happened a day or two before this committee was to meet again, being told that they must authorize or appropriate the additional authority so the bridge can move forward. I think that is where you get into some very raw feelings. And I believe that the press thought that as well, as I listened to it time and time again, that the fate of building this bridge hung in the hands of this group. I think that's pretty much not true.
No, I didn't say that.
But you also characterized it that members of this group did not say that it was important to build the bridge. And that is not true either. That is not true.
What I am hearing you say, though, Madam Speaker, is that it was our responsibility to make the decision, and we made the decision. And somehow, we also know that whatever happens, whether the authorization comes today, whether it comes today or not, or you're in regular session, the authority to spend the federal dollars won't change. That will happen eventually. That will happen. The only difference is the timing of that and how it could negatively affect our regular program. And that's the important thing, I guess I really want to say. We are trying to do, and we have, made an effort that there are other states that would jump at the opportunity to receive the kind of support we've received from the city itself and from the Federal Highway Administration to move this project forward. And with the dollars and resources, and I guess I'm just a little bit surprised that we aren't looking at what we're really focusing on here is we've had a disaster. We really need to take care of that and rebuild that system. And those dollars are available at least to a certain level from the federal government today. And that authority shouldn't even be a question because eventually it will come. It will certainly come. Mm-hmm. And whether you all, because it can't go anywhere else. And these dollars can only go for the bridge. So all we're asking for is the authority to spend those dollars for the bridge so that we don't have to negatively impact our program. And that's all.
Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner, you just made the point again. You signed a contract. You obligated the state to spend dollars that you didn't have the authority to spend. And in this case, what it has led to is this protracted situation that you are engaged in again. I think it, you know, everyone is trying very hard here to accommodate as much as we feel we can.
Commissioner, the department signed a contract on September 19th awarding the contract. The request to us was on September 20th. Mm-hmm. So,
Mr. Senator Pocamiller, I don't think any of us sitting here didn't think we weren't going to move forward as quickly as possible on the contract because all of us know how important it is. For every single day the bridge is not completed, there's a cost to the city of Minneapolis and to the state's economy, to say nothing of a national cost. So I think all of us wanted it to move forward as quickly as possible, and we did do that. That's exactly what we did. As far as you're absolutely right, we can spend the dollars or the authority, but that diminishes the authority we have for our regular program.
Okay, everybody knows that. So it's unclear what point you're trying to make. We know that.
I think the point I'm trying to make.
And to somehow make some kind of point that the people sitting here don't care about rebuilding the bridge?
I'm not saying that.
Remember
I'm just
whose district that's in, Commissioner?
I'm not. I assume it's yours, but I'm not sure. But
I don't know that that's in my district, Commissioner.
Yes, I do know it's in your district. And I do know how important it is to the entire state and to the country. That's why I would think all of us would want to have it built as quickly as possible without negatively impacting the rest of the program. And I think that's what we're really asking for here. And that's what we've been asking for all along, is the authority to continue to do that.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, I'm glad that you're here today to talk about, you know, what this costs, what the I-35W bridge is costing, not only the state of Minnesota, but the entire country. And that's why I'm still a little apprehensive of some of your comments, knowing that the governor had every opportunity to call a special session, much like the governor down in the state of Missouri did, and they took care of their deficient bridges. And I'm just wondering, and maybe you can carry this message back to the governor, what's his plan for the bridges in my district or in Representative Magnus's district or the other bridges that might be in Senator Pogemiller's district? What is the governor's plan outside of borrowing? I don't want to have any more plans that rely 100% on borrowing. I'm tired of seeing them. I think our committee's tired of seeing them. They get 3 votes in our committee. And Senator Pogemiller, I think we've got 18 members on our committee. So, you know, that's a pretty poor batting average. So I would be very interested in seeing what the governor wants to bring forward in the next legislative session in regards to fixing all the bridges all across the state. When other states look at the tragedy that we had and move forward, and we sit with our feet in cement, that's a sad day on Minnesota's history. It's just a sad indictment of our transportation system here in Minnesota.
May I answer just, I think I heard you say, Senator Murphy, that Commissioner Pete Ron from Missouri is working on their whole bridge program, a massive bridge program. And you're absolutely right, he is. And it's a great program for those folks. It also is privately owned, so it's a very big private industry motivation. But if you're willing to work with us on that, I think the governor might be willing to work with you on that kind of model as well.
Mr. Chairman and Lieutenant Governor, I'm not interested in selling selling public assets to the private companies, period. And that's not going to happen in the Transportation Committee for at least the next 3 years while I'm still the chair of it. I think Dwight David Eisenhower would be rolling over in his grave if he saw what the governor of Indiana did, what the mayor of Chicago has done, in selling off billions of dollars of state assets. Selling them off. Now, granted, people say, oh, these are public-private partnerships, and we're just leasing them to them for, in the case of Indiana, 99 years. But that's insanity. Dwight Eisenhower had the foresight, as well as the legislature at that time, to look at what the country needed and didn't ask, oh, how's this going to affect my next election? Oh, might we have to raise taxes to get this done? No. They picked it up, they put it on their backs, and they got it done. And today we worry about, oh, what are we going to get reelected if we vote for a tax increase? Well, you know what? It doesn't make any difference to me, because right now we've got more people dying on our roads this year than we did last year. Now, we've made improvements in Minnesota. We're still in the top 5 when it comes to having the safest roads in the nation. Unfortunately, we're also in the top 5 when it comes to killing more teenagers than any other state in the United States, except for 2. What are we doing about that? There's things that we can be doing, Lieutenant Governor, together, but we got to have cash. We can't have bonding dollars. You can't spend bonding dollars to buy more state troopers. You can't use bonding dollars to improve the driver's training education programs. Local units of government can't use state trunk highway bonds to build their bridges.
We need cash, and everybody knows we do. And until we get away from this, well, let's sell public assets to the private sector, or let's bond and get into debt over our head, I mean, we got to get by that. We got to stand up. We got to tell the people of the state of Minnesota what the real issue is here. And the real issue is we're $1.7 billion behind per year for a 10-year construction cycle. And I think those are pretty well known numbers throughout the legislature. I mean, Senator Jungbauer's got to memorize. Everybody on our committee does. We know what needs to be done. Our committee has been committed, and we've passed bills year in, year out. The House has come along a couple years in a row now, and we need the governor to get on board. Okay. Because Lieutenant Governor, the same point that you made, Bridge Falls in Minneapolis affects everybody. A teenager dies in Alexandria, that affects Red Wing. A man gets killed in a rollover in a pickup out in Goodhue County, and that affects people in Stearns County. Every time somebody dies on our roads, it costs us $1.1 million. All of us. That's all of us. We got to get over this. We need real money to fix real problems. So let's just do it. I'm still okay. Voting no on this.
Okay. Madam Speaker, you have a question. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 signatures out of 8 on this already for $30 million. So, Madam Speaker,
I think there's one question in our previous document that we haven't talked about today, and then I will do what my farmer dad taught me to do when I was really, really mad, and that's go for a drive on my way home. So I think I'll be doing that tonight. Good therapy driving around the countryside. So, all right, the Wakota Bridge. If you could address if it's going to be let under one of these scenarios, Mr. Hinkle, both of these scenarios in the Green Bay colors, if you would, please.
Yeah. Madam Speaker, the Wakota Bridge was scheduled to be let in January, and that will still occur.
Great.
So that will be let in January. That was not deferred. But as you just said, I just did want to, first of all, thank you for the $30 million, but also let you know that we still will have to defer probably $55 million. I can't overextend past where I am. But we appreciate that. But the Wakota Bridge is part of the January letting.
Well, Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner, I'm sure we'll look forward to the update by staff and by you at a future meeting of this group. Feel free. I appreciated the pre-meeting on Friday to understand more clearly. I'm sure we'd welcome that again. And we certainly are being thoughtful about this in conversation with our colleagues.
Okay. Anything else? Representative Leader.
Senator Pogemiller. Mr. Gray, as I see it, the feds have authorized or appropriated $248 million. We actually have $65.3 million left. That isn't authorized. That's actually what we could have been dealing with, $65.3 rather.
Mr. Chair, Representative Leader, I'm trying to track your numbers here real quickly. The original authorization was $250 million, of which there were $55 million that was quick-release money to us, leaving a federal authorization outstanding of $195 million. Separately from that, we have received an additional $123 million of, if you will, hard cash, so over and above that amount. So that in addition to the quick-release money, we actually have cash in hand to bill against of $178 million. We have appropriation authority of $113 million. So I think that goes to an earlier observation that there's $60 or $70 million of cash in hand that has been appropriated by Congress that we're not appropriating against at the state level. Does that answer your question?
Mr. Gray, that's correct. So it's $65.3 million. That's the point I was making.
Yes.
Right.
And we just, this authorization's for 30 of that.
Right. Right.
So you're not spending money quicker than it's being authorized at this stage. I think that's, people are losing sight of that a little bit here. So,
Mr. Chair,
which you obviously wouldn't do.
On the cash front, that's true. Again, right. It comes back to that fundamental. Do we manage a program, right, or do we manage month to month? And if it's $30 million, we will need to look at $55 million of program management and deferrals.
Mr. Chair,
delays.
Well, we'll be here in January. This group, apparently, will be here in January.
Not only that, but this gives you authorization through well into the legislative session as well. And that's the most important thing. That's my goal, mm-hmm, of getting us there.
At this point, it certainly does. Yeah. We don't know. With an update in January, we'll know more.
Right. So I,
Mr. Chairman, can I have just 1 second of kind of a personal privilege thing here? You know,
it's going to raise the tension or lower
the tension? No, hopefully. Why is everybody laughing? No, Mr. Chairman, I don't believe it will. Not this past weekend, but the weekend before, we had a snow event on Saturday. And then again, we had another snow event on Monday. And I've been critical of MnDOT and the snow plowing operations in the past. But I can tell you last Saturday, there was nobody on the road. I got off work at 5:30. I had to be at the Capitol at 6:30, and I made it. And I can only, and I think I drove across two places where it wasn't bare pavement. I mean, the men and women that were out there on the plows did a hell of a good job. On Monday, a little different scenario, but people in the state of Minnesota have to understand, it snows here. And when you take roads where you don't have much traffic and you go out and you plow them, you can get it cleaned up in a hurry. But when you've got about 500,000 vehicles out on the road at any one time, and it looked like they were all in the same spot, because I was trying to get over to an event over in Minneapolis, and I never did make it. But they still did a heck of a good job considering what they had to work with. People need to understand when the roads are in that bad shape, if you don't have to go out, don't go out. And if you're going to go out, be prepared to sit around and wait for a while. That's just the way it is. We're in Minnesota. But I just wanted to end the meeting by saying that I think that the men and women that are in the snow operation did a heck of a good job over the past week and a half. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else? Gentlemen, thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.
Okay. All right. Good place.